This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, June 5th, 2022. Pentecost Sunday, by Father William Doc Holliday.
You have received the adoption of sons, whereby we cry, Abba, Father.
May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
It befuddles me on occasion to hear some of the things I hear emanating from within the church. And that one of the things that befuddles me today when I see the words of the Holy Spirit himself speaking through St. Paul about our adoption of sons and daughters and the privilege that we have by calling God Abba Father, is to hear that everybody's a child of God. It's kind of weird. If everybody's a child of God, why do you need to be adopted as sons and daughters? That's ridiculous. We hear throughout the New Testament about being adopted sons and daughters of God. What is the necessity of adoption if everybody's already a child of God? Everybody's a child of God in created sense, not in a sense of salvation. That is what makes us different from them out there. We are adopted sons and daughters of God. If you are a baptized Christian, you are an adopted son or daughter of God, and you have the privilege of calling God Abba Father. This is referred to theologically filiation. Filiation, although it's a theological term, I always like to use dictionary definitions because they have a tendency to be less ethereal. Filiation is, in a dictionary, the fact of being designated the child of a particular parent. It's a legal thing. But in our sense, and in our discussion, particularly on this Pentecost day, when we talk about the coming of the Holy Spirit, we have to understand that the Holy Spirit comes ultimately. The end reason for the Holy Spirit to have been poured out in our hearts, starting with the Apostles of Pentecost, when we look at this, it makes us different. It makes us different. This idea that God is our, not Father in a formal sense, because you have been received as adoption of sons and daughters of God, whereby we cry, Father. No, where we cry, Abba, Father. Little footnote on that. This all, you will read some commentators, usually from the more warm and fuzzy kind of commentaries. Abba means daddy. It does not. It is not a childish term that people use for their... It would be, in English, the difference between addressing your dad as father and dad. A lot of 1950s black and white movies, you know, the little rich kids running around, father, mother. I knew a couple people as I was growing up that called their dad and mom father and mother, but it's weird. It was for me. You know, it's your dad. It's your mom. Chill. You know, father, mother. You know, that's very formal. It is kind of interesting how the Holy Spirit works it. He doesn't say either or. You're adopted son of a daughter. Just call God Abba. Just call him dad. Doesn't say that. Doesn't say just call him father. That formal thing. Both. Both. Abba, Father. Dad, Father. This is the reality of our relationship with God. We never want to lose the sight of the fact that He is God. He is in heaven. He is omnipotent. He is omniscient. He reigns on high. He is transcendent. All those other good God things. But He's also Dad. He's all those things. He's in heaven, but He is with us. He indwells us. St. Jose Maria Escriva actually says, we've got to be filled with the idea that our Father is God, who is both in heaven and is very near to us. doesn't get much more near than him indwelling you. The Holy Spirit, we talk about Pentecost, and if every Sunday was Pentecost for the rest of the youngest person in here's life and they became a priest and they wanted to speak a homily on the Holy Spirit, you could speak about something, the fruits of the Spirit, the guidance of the Spirit, all the graces that the Holy Spirit gives us, and all how he directs everything. You could talk about that forever, and you should, because the Holy Spirit is the most practical person of the Trinity, as far as we're concerned, if you really think about it. He is the most practical. God the Father has sent the Son, and the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son. The Son, who is now, has redeemed us, and is now in heaven, making intercession for us and preparing a place for us. The Holy Spirit is in us. He proceeding from the Father and Son, he is in us. He makes us part of God. This is the end-all be-all of all the other things, myriad that they are, that he does. He is first and foremost, his rationale is to make us understand that we are children of God. It's more than a legal fiction. It is a union. It's an ontological union with him. So this whole Abba thing, Abba Father, yes, Father God Almighty, transcendent, but Abba, Dad, it speaks in a family context. We can be familially related to God. We can approach him as that. We can approach him with the confidence as we would approach our earthly fathers, most of us. This is the reality of what the Holy Spirit endeavors to do with us. But we need to cooperate with us because this is our redemption. Our redemption is being more conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And not just dotting I's and crossing T's, which is a, like in the gospel today, if you love me, you will do these things. Just like you loved your earthly parents, and when they told you to do something or not do something, you either did it or didn't do it, or you were being disrespectful. Okay, the privilege of calling God Father is we need to, any privilege that we have in this world, and it is that, not a right. You not have the right to call God your Father if you don't live as if he is. One commentator said, being baptized into Christ creates members of his body. Not members like in a club, members like in parts of your body, like your arms, your feet, your head. That's a member. He creates members of his body, and the blueprint of Christ's life is imprinted on them. This is what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit draws us into the life of the blessed, undivided Trinity. This is what he does. This is what we need to appreciate. This is what we need to cooperate with and act like. This is the reality of our faith. Our faith, I'm always talking, is not a list of propositions and dogmatic statements, although they are very important. You should know them, you should live them, and all that good stuff. But they're ancillary to the fact of living a Catholic life, having that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I don't know why in the heck we let Protestants walk around. You have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? They don't know anything about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. For them, it's all propositional. It's all subjective. We have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We take him into our very bodies every single time we gather together in an objective and a real sense, not subjectively. This is what we have going. This is a privilege. We need to act like it. Because like I said, this is our redemption. This whole idea of becoming one in union with God, something that we were not before our baptism, it becomes a reality, should become a reality. It is a reality. You need to act like it because there will be consequences if we don't act like it. We come here to worship God for our redemption, for having sent his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for us, to suffer as he did. You know, from not on the cross, but from leaving heaven. He leaves heaven and comes down here and dwells with us. Jesus Christ took on our nature so as to provide us the opportunity to take on his nature. Because Jesus, before the incarnation, before the Annunciation, he did not have a body. He could not get hungry. He could not weep. He could not die. That was a necessity for our salvation. Who facilitated him being able to do that? Well, the Annunciation, the Archangel Gabriel, Mary, you're going to be the son of Messiah, in a nutshell. How is this going to be? I don't know. I don't have a husband. I've never known a man. Jesus is going to come down from heaven. No, Archangel Gabriel, the Holy Spirit will overshadow you. The Holy Spirit facilitated God taking on flesh, enabling God to cry, to be hungry, to suffer, to die. He facilitated that. This is what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit is, as I said, he's the practical facilitator of our faith. Jesus Christ, like that, he took on our nature so we could take on his. We look at it, well, Jesus was always God. Now, yes, he always was God, but he was always not the God-man. Dazzle your friends, Theanthropos, the God-man. No creature has ever lived like that before our Lord Jesus. No creature ever will. The God-man. There was never a thing before the incarnation such as that. He was just God. There was man, fallen man. But now there was one who knew no sin. He knew no sin. He did not have an earthly father. God was his father. The Holy Spirit overshadows him. And so, Jesus was God's son. He is by nature. We are by adoption. He is by nature. But in his humanity, this is kind of an interesting little theological footnote. Jesus Christ, Theanthropos, God-man, he is the only creature that has ever lived that has two wills. We only have one will, a human will. It is fallen. It is sin-cursed. It is redeemed through the infusion of the Holy Spirit. We have that going for us, but it takes some work. When we look at this redemption and how Jesus is the natural Son of God, but again, with two wills, his divine will, for instance, his divine will, apostles, sort of nonchalantly, just a matter of fact, Son of Man has to be turned over to evil men, to be scourged, spat upon, crucified, third day he will rise again. Matter of factly, this is why I came. Says it to him three times that we know of. Very detailed. But then all of a sudden in Gethsemane, guess what? Human will kicks in. I don't want to. No. Yeah, I know what I have to do, but I don't want to do that. So we never struggle with that aspect. We don't have a divine will that does what God wants us to do, and we will do it without question, fulfill his will. We only have one. Jesus had to struggle too, and Gethsemane was this struggle. It was the struggle between the will of man and the will of God. This is why Jesus needed two, because he needed to prove that he could take our will, remain sinless, and then conform it to the will of the Father. This is what he did for us. This is what he expects us to do. But I mean, let's look at Jesus, the natural Son of God. Abba, Father, Dad, Father, formal family. You would think Jesus would throw that around all the time because he's a natural Son of God, right? Jesus, he had always eternally been the begotten Son of God. The first time he uses that term, those terms, Abba, Father, it's not at his transfiguration. It's not at his baptism. It's not when he's given the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount. He's not showing, hey, look, guys, I can do these miracles because God's my dad, Abba, Father. The first time he uses those terms together is in the Garden of Gethsemane. In the Garden of Gethsemane, when he's sweating drops of blood because he is so overwhelmed by what he is going to have to do, he says, Abba, Father, all things are possible with thee. Remove this chalice from me. But not my will, your will. This struggle between his human will and the divine will. This is when our Lord uses that term, those terms, Abba, Father. Him in his, I say distress, what a gross understatement that is. I mean, the whole sweating drops of blood thing, that sounds really scriptural, really Bible. That is actually a physical condition. It is very, very rare There are documented medical cases where it happens to a human being under tremendous stress. It is extremely painful because it's the capillaries in your forehead bursting because you are so stressed out. Okay, this is where Jesus is, and this is the first time, Abba, Father, there's any way. What was his answer? Soldiers coming down this trail to arrest him. And then he just submitted to the will. Jesus Christ did that for us. And he was empowered by the Holy Spirit to do that. Well, Jesus was out here doing himself. The Holy Spirit was off doing his other God, Holy Spirit thing. No, it's an integrity. It is an undivided Trinity. The Holy Spirit empowered and strengthened the God-man to endure what he had to endure. Most human beings, if they endured what our Lord Jesus Christ did physically, would have died. Why did he? How could he fast for 40 days? Not eat or drink anything for 40 days. How could he? Nobody can do that. Nobody but the God-man, whom the Holy Spirit sustains so he can suffer that bad for that long. This is the redemptive struggle between the will of God and the will of man. Our Lord Jesus Christ had to prove it, and he proved it, and was given a name which is above every name. We are gifted by the same Holy Spirit with all the things that he gives us, all these benefits, but we cannot reap the benefits of the Holy Spirit without the associated struggle. You cannot take the fruits of the Holy Spirit for granted. The graces that he gives you, the guidance that he gives you, cannot take them for granted. You must cooperate with them. You must struggle, as Jesus did, between his human and divine will. We, in our fallen human nature, have to struggle to conform our fallen human natures to his nature. And it is a tremendous struggle, but it is the heart of our redemption, conforming the human will to the divine. This is what's going on in Gethsemane. The struggle is manifest in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, even to the point of his physical posture when he says those words. He's not standing before God, Abba, Father. He's not even kneeling down. He's on his face. It said right before he said it, he said, and Jesus went forward of them a little bit and fell on his face. The ground that he created, he's laying with his face in the dirt, crying, Abba, Father, because it manifests the submission of his will. Submission to our sins when he was sinless. Taking truly on our nature. So when we struggle with things, we should take this example. We've been given the privilege by the Holy Spirit to do so. We need to do it. He is not going to miracle and drag you around to do this. You must do it on your own. Pope Benedict XVI says, St. Paul sees in this cry of our Lord, the prayer the Holy Spirit places on our lips and thus anchors our spirit-filled prayer to the Lord's Prayer in Gethsemane. I always say we pray most and hardest when we really want something, when things are really, really bad. When we're praying like that, we need to picture in our head our Lord Jesus Christ in Gethsemane, because when things are going really bad with you, we have this human tendency in our fallen nature to do what we want, to even pray for the things that we want. And we might say the words, but we don't want his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that is a heart-wrenching prayer for a parent to say, kneeling at a sick child's bedside. I don't mean a child with the sniffles. I mean, if a child is seriously ill in their bed, you're in a hospital, thy will be done on earth. You don't want his will to be done. You want things to be back like they were. When we say those words, we need to mean that, because we know he does all things well. This is who he is. And we need to conform our lives to that in every aspect. The way we pray, the way we act, our moral lives, these things are important. Early Church Father Ambrosiaster says, if our behavior does not correspond to our voice crying, Abba, Father, we insult God by calling him Father. You imagine you when you were growing up, look at your parents. Don't do this. Be home by this time. Okay, Dad. And you just blew him off. Come back home 3 days later. And look at him. Well, whatever. That's what we do when we sin. If that would happen in a human family, that would be the height of disrespect, would it not? That would be the height of disobedience. What would happen? I know what would happen in my family. I wouldn't even consider that. because I know it would have happened, because it would have been so insulting to my parents, and they would not have tolerated it. Why do we think that God will tolerate our Father, who is perfect in heaven? Why would we think he would tolerate such things? That's why Ambrosi Astor said, you know, if we don't live a commensurate life with crying out, Abba, Father, we insult God. This is why sin is so grievous. This is the reality of the Holy Spirit's presence in us. He's not going anywhere. The gospel today, he will not leave you forever. It doesn't matter if you were baptized an infant. Oh, you know, I grew up, I got in high school, and I just went away from the church, and I guess what? Doesn't make any difference. Holy Spirit still indwells you. He's never going to leave. He's just tremendously offended by your life. And there will be consequences for the offenses. We need to conform ourselves, because all the gifts that we receive from the Holy Spirit, many as they are, fruits, gifts, guidance, direction, discernment, all those things, we get all these things, but every one of them is for the end of drawing us closer into the life of the divine Trinity. That's the greatest gift, to be made one with God. This is what we strive for in this world, should be striving for, not coming to church on Sunday because it makes you feel better about yourself and that's what you're supposed to do. There's got to be substance under the forms that we live. This is the reason. We insult God if we call him Father and don't act like it. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.